Well, every generation has to take care of the next generation,
uh-huh.
or not care at all. And I don't think that that's we as people. So we want to take care of our loved ones, and that involves usually not everyone lives well towards the end, because we're living so much longer. In the old days, as you know, these are the facts. You know, people lived to be in the late 30s and early 40s, and now, you know, my grandparents died in their late 50s and early 60s, except my grandmother. She lived really almost 90, but it was not a good ending. So, again, you have to take them into your home or find a place, and it becomes decision-making, which is life-threatening or life-making.
It's a constant, series of new decisions to make. We always say the difference between being a caregiver and not a caregiver is that phone call in the middle of the night. And now all of a sudden there are these things you have to deal with you never even heard of before.
It changes your life. It's you have the birth of children and then you have the end of life. And I had a second mother. I called her my mentor mother because she was my drama coach at MGM Studios. She was everybody's drama coach, Lana Turner, Ava Gardner, Greer Garson, everybody. She taught all of us how to act and how to be good actresses. And so as she, life hit her hard, her husband left her, and a lot of things happen in life that you unexpected. And she had financial troubles, and so I became her caretaker because I loved her. And I just didn't expect to adopt a mother in her 70s, which I did. I went to court and adopted her because I realized that you can't do anything for people that you're not related to.
Well, I also think that you train the next generations how to care for you, your kids, your grandkids. They watch.
Well, you can pray that they will do that. You can pray that I pray that my kids will take as good a care of me as I took care of my mom and my daddy. But I believe you're right. I believe that's the example. My son has already added a room onto his house, and he lives at a ranch, a lovely ranch. But I don't like worms and horses and cows, and it's never been my thing. You know, I'm a performer. I want to go out on stage singing a song, you know. But he's already planned. He has an elevator that he can put in.
Well, you taught him well.
That's very sweet, but I don't want to live on So it'll have to be, I don't know, you know, it'll be the last step I'll take. But it's good to feel that love. It's really lovely. My grandmother lived with my mom and daddy until she went blind, and then they, in turn, my mother became critically ill with bad heart. My mother started having heart conditions at 39. So I've been a caretaker since I'm 14, because at 14, my mother became very ill. And then we had to then put my grandmother with her other children, who were very good with her for a time, and then until she went blind. Now, all this time, my grandmother had osteoporosis and my mother was heart. My family seemed to weather the storms, but they have quite a few health problems. And that's why I've been so involved in all these different causes. When breast cancer first came out, I was one of the first spokespersons for that, to detect that. And the osteoporosis, to take tests, and the overactive bladder, they call it, because it sounds nicer to say that, I guess. And my mother and father both had that problem. And that was the most embarrassing problem for them to overcome. In fact, they never did overcome it, because we had to deal with it, because at that time, there was no help. Especially, I found it hard for my dad. It was really hard for my father.
It is. It really is. It's, I don't mean to stereotype, but it's very difficult for a male caregiver to deal with the incontinence issue. Actually,
yeah.
For long-term care placement, incontinence is the primary reason that people even consider long-term care placement.
Yeah.
We always look at incontinence as being what we call our three concurrent issues in caregiving: mobility, diabetes, and of course incontinence. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I was wondering what advice you have for families who are maybe just starting to deal with the issue of incontinence. What would
I
you
think
suggest?
They have to run, not walk, to the doctor. And let's, and we know that the doctors know now that there are a couple of pharmaceutical companies that have a pill that this can be given to the patient, and it will eliminate the incontinence. Now, not altogether, but it will certainly curb it, where it can be controlled for long periods of hours, where they can actually function and be socially active again, and not hide out in their room and not be embarrassed to death. And that's the problem, is they lose their will to go out. They can't go out because they don't know where, they can't the time going out, you know, and they don't know when it's going to happen. And so they must go talk to their doctor. There are 17 million people with this problem. That's in America only, and that's not a really a good account. You know,
did you have conversations with your parents about this, or was this just a shame issue that they didn't want to deal with?
I had to put them in diapers.
Yeah.
But my father wouldn't discuss it, excepting he allowed me to change his diapers. He was the only one I was the only one he would allow. Otherwise, he would just stay in his diapers. Well, that was impossible. So it became extremely hard to care for my father. And my mother finally put him in a home against all of my wishes. And he did better there because he had a male nurse. But these are extreme measures. I prefer to always advise home care if possible, if you can have the money, you know, if there's the financial possibility to keep them at home, to convert a room, because they demand so little, really. Of course, that's not true of some personalities if there's dementia involved.
Right.
Because these all go through grades, the levels of illnesses. Like my adopted mother became very, very angry at life and very angry at her condition. And she had the opposite of incontinence. She had a urethra problem, and she couldn't go to urinate. Mm-hmm. This is an opposite problem. This can cause poisoning and of your whole system. And so you have to take them to the doctors for this every week. And that's another difficult, very difficult problem.
Did she also have dementia?
Yes, she's the one that had dementia. Now, to get someone that has dementia addressed and get them in a car and get them to go, it's impossible in the end, you know. They won't go.
No, I understand. When those two issues are together, it just becomes a very difficult issue. I like the fact that you mentioned that the male assistant was more accepted by your father. It sounds like, you know, as a family caregiver, you've kind of like, it's almost ad-libbing all the time.
Well, you just don't know what, you know, there's no book, there's a book about it, but it's not about your parent. You know, everybody has a different personality, and everybody reacts differently. So you have to kind of wing it. It's a wing and a prayer. And when I had my mother and my other mother, and my father at the same time.
Oh, boy.
All going on at the same time. And my work.
And you're on the road.
And I'm on the road. So, and I have a brother, luckily, but he was working. He was a television makeup artist. And that's many, many hours. He did all the Michael Landon series, Little House on the Prairie, and all that. So, between two working siblings, you know, and then three ill parents, aging parents, I should say, you know, and we had every kind of condition you can have excepting diabetes. So that's the only thing we didn't experience.
Well, you are truly a caregiver.
I am. I think I'm a pretty well-schooled one, and I've gone to every seminar and every meeting, and I was searching, because my mother went blind also, as my grandmother had. And now my brother is going. It's that retina, you know, I never can...
Retinitis pigmentosis.
And you can't stop it. And so
Is that the issue that you're caring for him because of the
blind? I will be. Yeah. I will be. I'm preparing myself because it's bound to happen. My father was part Indian, a Cherokee, and he just wanted to be taken out to the desert and put a blanket over him and leave him there. That's what he kept saying to me. Just look, sis, just take me out to the desert and put a blanket over me, and then life will, it'll just go. That, you know, that's an impossibility to do. But that's what he thought that would be the ideal way, just to go earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
And know. It's hard to work with a care recipient when they won't work with you.
No, he got very angry. He wouldn't accept female nurses, is the thing. That's hard to find male nurses. But I was lucky because I was able to find some good male nurses for him. And without that, he would kick at them and the dementia, you know, he would cause them harm if you know, they tried to do anything for him. You know, when we were little kids, what was the thing we didn't want to talk about? We didn't want to say we had to go to the bathroom, we, especially in front of mixed company. Oh, excuse me. I think when we finally grew up, it was okay, but I was always embarrassed to say, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. And later in life, it seems we become kids again, and we get embarrassed about this particular problem.
Well, it's an independence issue. Now your family has to care for you because, you know, you're dealing with the incontinence or those caregiving. What it sounds like to me is that, you know, not dealing with shame, finding out that you had a situation to deal with and going to get the support actually keeps you on the road.
Oh, well, for me, I'm going to work my whole life, you know, so I'm going to find out. I'm going to seek advice. You know, I'm going to go and ask the doctor the embarrassing questions, whereas a lot of people will not do that. But an overactive bladder is something that many people think is just part of aging, and it's not really aging that can bring on this condition. Many, many other things can give voice to it, and you can be much younger. You can be in your 40s, and it can begin to happen to you, and then you're so embarrassed you won't discuss it at all. And it's something that people don't like to talk about, so luckily they found a big mouth like me that doesn't mind talking about anything that I've gone through and that my family have gone through and that everyone else may go through one of these particular conditions.
I know your daughter Carrie was diagnosed and treated a while back for bipolar disorder.
Yes.
That's another family issue that just involves the entire family.
Oh, I have that too. I forgot that.
Okay.
Oh, that's a very... Wow, that's a really big one. They're all big issues, but manic depressive bipolar is devastating to the family and to the victim. And it's something we've all lived with since she was 13, but undiagnosed. But now since, you know, it's been diagnosed, it's more controlled, but it's still always there.
Is it medication? She got onto the proper medication?
Yeah, we found really the right psychiatrist, physician. You have to have a medical doctor who is also a shrink, you know, is also a psychiatrist.
Well, you help a lot of people.
Well, I try.
Thank you
for your time, dear.
Take care.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.